With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome back to part two of this very special Champions edition of A View from the Bridge. Thanks to everybody who got in touch after part one and how much you enjoyed it. And thanks for joining us here on part two. We hope you enjoy this. If you didn't enjoy part one, and you're joining us in part two, fair play for giving us the benefit of the doubt. We hope this one's better than the last one. On this part of it, you're going to hear from Adam Keefe, who answers your fanagenic questions. We'll also be chatting with Danny Stewart, the head coach of the Coventry Blaze. We'll be casting an eye over the nominees for the Player of the Month award sponsored by Phonacab. And of course, we'll be chatting more about the Belfast Giants Elite League Championship win. But first, we mentioned in the first part about the A View from the Bridge live at McCool's. I was going to add some bits and pieces in there, but I ran out of time. So let's hear a few of the cleaner bits and pieces. If you haven't been able to get to one of our live shows at McCool's, they're great fun. And maybe these few cleaner sound bites will give you an inkling to come and join us sometime in the future. Once you hear these, we'll get stuck back into talking about the championship. Let's do it.
Right, let's start 7-0.
Yeah, about that.
So I'm going to step off the stage. 7-0. Let's start with tonight's game. Joel, you've been talking enough for a while.
I have two words to sum up tonight's game. I've got three.
Kevin. You said you two?
Kevin f***ing Rain. Kevin Rain shows her and toes her, snipes it. And do you know what the best part was? He didn't even celebrate. Jonathan Ferland's behind him going, let's go! Rainer's like, not a big deal. Beauty. Absolute beauty.
That's it, isn't it? It's like, in a game like this, obviously, let's not talk now about league situations and blah, 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 blah. It is here and now, say, so here and now, the guys had to come out here. In Manchester Friday before, a week ago, talked to both Riles and to Kiefer. Both of them said the same thing. We have to score more than two goals. We've went out there in the last two games since and demolished them.
I mean, the Flyers played well in the first probably 35 minutes. They were getting tired. They started off with 4D. They were missing Stofflet and Scott Arson. So it was always going to be tough. Then they lost Pinkston with about 5 minutes to go in the second period. You know, it's tough enough out there. We just took off in the third. Owen, they knew when they were 3-0 down, they weren't going to get back into it. So I think he did the right thing. Give Owen, you know, a bit of time. That's the first minutes. Is there only five Flyers fans in? There's one, isn't there?
There's one.
Ah, John.
Welcome, sir. Welcome.
You can correct me if I'm wrong. Is that Andrew Little's first minutes this season in the league? He's played a couple before, but...
So you were wrong? Is that what you said? You were wrong?
It's not often. Now, you can ask my ex-wife. She said it was never wrong. Hi, Bob.
That's two goalkeepers in two games that we've retired. Is that systematic of where we are in the league in regards to the last couple of games that we're basically sitting back? Either of you, we're sitting back and teams are basically going, listen, we've got the playoffs to worry about. We don't care.
I think that's where we're at. The thing that's killing me the most right now is that we are an unbelievable hockey team and we're absolutely streaking to this hot finish and it's just out of our hands.
With tonight's result against Milton Keynes, the Manchester Storm are on top and they're probably going to make the playoffs. However, we've seen before. Are they going to shut down? No, they're not going to shut down against Milton Keynes, are they? They're going to win both.
All right, shits.
Ooh, who sneaked in?
Look at that wee one.
Okay.
Just sneaked out the back post there.
Yeah, let's stop talking about Manchester.
Somebody buy that man a pint.
Let's stop crying about that and start crying about this.
You home? Chelsea! He has said he's going to join. Let's give him a minute to get himself a drink. Let's finish off by talking about tonight, right? So, 7-0 against Fife. Does it mean anything, really? Does it mean anything, the fact that are we trying to up our game to the playoffs? Are we trying to keep ourselves in momentum? Dundee, with tonight's result, probably aren't playing for anything tomorrow. Are we now just stepping it up until we're probably, hopefully not, but we're probably going to play Sheffield Steelers next weekend?
I think the Giants are focused on two things right now. One, because it's out of their hands, making it as uncomfortable as possible for Cardiff. And I just spoke to Kyle Bond in post-game there, and he's saying that the kind of hot streak that they're on right now and the strong finishes to games, they are all part of momentum building. They feel like they're kind of riding the wave towards playoffs. So it's out of our hands. Make it as uncomfortable as possible for Cardiff and also get ready for the playoffs, because there seems to be a lot of optimism about playoffs this year. It's a tournament we've been underrepresented in.
Oh, who's going to get here first?
Oh,
who's
going to get here first? Look at this.
Oh, my
look
goodness me.
This.
Sheds, you're up next. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jonathan Boxall. Oh, my goodness me. Wow. Wow.
Hey, Boxy.
How's it going?
I love that hat.
Danny, take photos. I'm going to look better beside him.
How you doing, mate?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, doing really, really well. Your reflection on tonight's game, first of all.
It was a good performance, obviously, with a scoreline like that. I'm sure everybody's happy. They were obviously low on bodies, but that takes nothing away from the way we played tonight. But, it was nice to see certain guys get on the scoreboard. Obviously, Rain Gretzky, as we've been calling him.
Rain Gretzky.
I can't take credit for that name. So, Kyle Barn, that was him. Anytime you have a performance, especially with Besko, getting a shout out, and it was great.
This week has been a very difficult week for Belfast Giants fans. This week we saw the retirement, or the announcement of the retirement, of a guy who's very special to us. A guy who's played over a decade for this club. A guy who's scored more points than any other player for this club. A guy who's scored more points than anybody else in the Elite League. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, number 19 for your Belfast Giants, Mr. Colin Shields.
Yeah, you got something to do tomorrow.
What's that?
So thanks for making us all cry this week. Much appreciated. It's been a good week.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
First question. People here listen to the podcast. A lot of people here very kindly listen to the podcast. Heard your interview with Davey, and very emotional it was. But let's revisit a little bit of that. The decision. How difficult was it?
Yeah, I mean, it was a difficult decision. It wasn't quickly made. It was obviously over the course of the full season, and being out for a long time with the eye injury, I think, gave you some time to reflect and think about, you know, possibly making the next step, and not knowing at the time whether I was going to be able to come back from the injury was tough too. But when I came back and started playing, I felt good on the ice. And just feel like it's the right time for me to step away from the game, and content with the decision, and seeing what's next.
Couldn't agree more.
Okay,
so
joining us live from Bristol is Mr. David McGimsey. Can everybody give him a wave?
The Brigadier, ladies and gentlemen.
David, have you any? Do you have a question for Colin Shields?
I don't know what you've asked him yet, Paddy. I suppose we'd have to ask Sheds. You know, what are you going to miss most about the place?
As I said, if you were listening a minute ago, just said.
Asking that one already.
Yeah, it's all right. Don't worry. Yeah, just as I said a minute ago, the fans and the support, and not too many places do you get support like we have here. And this weekend, as I said, the last 5 or 6 days has just been unbelievable. And, you know, just really wanted to, it was a big decision, of course, but I didn't want it to sort of go into the summer and then people not to really know what was going on with me. If I'd made the decision, I wanted to make it public just so people had a chance for me to interact with the fans. And I know there's a lot of young kids that are fans, and just for a chance to them to sort of, obviously I'll be around still, but, you know, a chance to say goodbye and get pictures and things like that. And it was just, for me, it was nice to know that, you know, the team let me sort of put it out there, and to say my last game was, well, last regular season games would be this weekend, and sometimes I think, you know, if you've been somewhere for a long time, it's nice to just put it out there before the end of the season.
Like, I was living in Newcastle when you played in Newcastle, and Newcastle was a fun place to be then.
Marty
McAllister over my shoulder. Jeez. You're such a
no, Patrick's actually taking a render. You have embarrassed Patrick Smith.
Is Lenny going to come up and join us?
He's done you a belter,
Lenny's very
mate.
Shy and refined. Like. Lenny, come on.
Lenny, are you coming to join us?
Curtis Leonard, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, number 10, Steve Overjet. Curtis Leonard. Take that seat, will you, man? You all right, man? I love it. I love the fact that I got some guy over.
Who's I know, there's some mutant over there that won't
I like
stop
him.
It in your ear.
He's nice. I like him. He's good.
You bring your own fans
are
with
you. Mate, you all right?
Pardon?
How you doing? You okay?
Pretty good. After a nice 7-0 win, it's always pretty nice. So,
what's the room? What's the atmosphere in the room at the minute? Are you chasing the championship or are you building for playoffs?
Yeah, I think we're doing a bit of both here. We're just gonna come in tomorrow, take care of business, and then the rest is in Cardiff fans. So as long as we take care of our job tomorrow, we'll watch and wait just like you guys, and hopefully something happens.
This is Colin Shields from the Belfast Giants, and you're listening to View from the Bridge, the best podcast in the Elite Ice Hockey League.
I want to start with you, and this is, you know, what were the key moments of the season? What where did we find it where we've now ended up as champions?
Well, if you listen to that British Ice Hockey Twitter, you know, picking five games where we won every single game. That's not the case. You know, there's games that we played this year that we lost, but probably learned more than what you do when you win. And, you know, for me, the win in Manchester, I think it was October, to start that long road trip, long stretch of wins.
The overtime?
Yeah, you know, 10 games in a row away from home. It was always going to be difficult. Then that led into the semi-finals of the Continental Cup. And that game, for me, against Arlan, you know, you talk about, you know, games that have an effect on the season. I think that genuinely did have an effect on our season, because I seen those boys in the dressing room. And, you know, when they come out, they've got the, you know, you see how disappointed they were. If they didn't give a toss, you'd be absolutely ripping. But every single one of them that come out of that dressing room, you could see that they did not want to have that feeling again. You know, the efforts that they put in that Continental Cup tournament, and they come down from 2-0 against a really good Arlan team in the third period, get it back to 2-2. You know, we were all there for that, and that was a brilliant game. Vesco was outstanding. And it's just, I think that game itself was, for me, one of the biggest moments of the season. And again, you know, going out and losing the game the following weekend was always going to be tough going to Cardiff. That's to make no mistake about. You know, the Devils have done really well this year. But the Arlan game, again, seeing the hurt on the guys' faces, was a big, big moment. And I think that they regrouped. And just went, right, guys, that's time to knuckle down again and let's get ready to go. Yeah. And Adam deserves massive, massive credit for that, because I knew that wasn't going to be easy. And look where we are now. There's been three domestic trophies already up for grabs. We've won all three that we can possibly get our hands on. And I'm telling you now, these guys will want that fourth one.
Davey, key moments?
Throughout the whole season?
Yeah.
Oh, man, Paddy. I guess there was a game against, I think, the Coventry Blaze, where we won 6-5 or something crazy like that. Darcy Murphy comes up with a goal right at the end of the game. You know, all these crucial... Start of 2nd of February, my grandma's birthday, there you go. Darcy Murphy, you know, coming up with it. He came up with so many clutch goals. There's one in Fife not that many weeks ago right at the end of the game on power play. You know, there's been so many, I think it might have been the TV, it might have been the Premier Sport game, where he scores right at the end of the game, and then I think we get an empty netter as well to make it 3-1, but we're drawing one each right late in the game. He came up with so many magical moments and big. Him and Paddy Dwyer, you could go through a team. We'll talk about players of the month and players of the season probably as we go on, but you know, probably those two goals from Darcy Murphy are as important as any were scored through the season.
Joel, we've got a League Cup, Conference, treble. Dare we dream?
At this point, anything's possible. I mean, I'll say it again. This is the hill that I have selected to die on. I think that we are looking at the greatest Belfast Giants team of all time. I think the playoffs, to be honest, before the league even became a reality, if you look at how hard we pushed the Continental Cup final and how close we came and how we've always been there or thereabouts, a lot of people were saying, I fancy us for the playoffs this year. And to use an old betting term, I think we're due. You know, it's been, nearly 9 years now since we last won the playoffs. Hockey in the UK is cyclical. Every few years, if you're lucky, you get just this magical combination of everything that comes together, and you're looking at a team for such a small window of time where you look at them and you can go, we can do this here. We can win the heap. This year's team is the first time I've felt it since the league in 2013-14 when we ran away with it and tied it up in February. And it goes away so fast. You know, let's be honest with ourselves. Darcy Murphy's probably going to get a great deal in Germany or something like that. How do you replace those goals with someone? Tyler Bescarwani may well end up somewhere else. How do you replace that? Colin Shields is going, you know, this tiny little window is pure magic, and this team can absolutely go the whole way. You know, you talk about key moments of the season, and I just can't agree more with the coach and what Sis said. You know, the absolute crushing defeat in that Continental Cup final, and then to have our arses handed to us in Cardiff two nights in a row, we had to bottom out to prove to ourselves that we could do this, and that's what we've done ever since. Absolutely clutch team, and there's no reason whatsoever that we couldn't go and do it again in 2 weeks' time.
19 consecutive home victories since the turn of the year, 2019, and the last one coming on the retirement of number 19. Says, I'll come to you, the league, the cup, it's the first time we've won both in one season. You throw the conference in there as well. You know, going into the playoffs, what are you thinking?
I took us at the start of the season to win the playoffs, and I'm not changing my mind.
So did I.
I think we've got the really good chance of doing this weekend. Or sorry, you know, they progress this weekend to the Final Four. I agree with what Adam said, you know, getting to the Final Four is important. You know, 2 1-off games, you know. I think, when you look at those matchups, it's Sheffield, Cardiff, Cardiff will be hurting. Cardiff will be really hurting. I'm pretty sure Matheson's going to be back for Sheffield, so they'll be at full strength. You know, they've got the best away goalie in the league. I've seen that last night. I honestly think that we've got a really, really good chance. But again, Sheffield aren't going to be easy for Cardiff. When you look through the other two, Glasgow and Guildford, you know, Glasgow have had a bit of a slump of late. Guildford are still ticking along nicely. They'll be hard to beat. And Nottingham at Fife, and you know, we played Fife last weekend, give them an absolute lesson, 7-0. They were struggling. They were down to 3 D-men for the majority of the second and obviously the third period. They then went in the next night and beat Glasgow in Glasgow. So it's going to be tough, but I genuinely do fancy us.
I'm still laughing at the Sheffield Steelers handing out away player of the season. It's basically like, you're rubbish at home, but hey, you're really good away. That's great. Well done, Ben. Davey, your thoughts on the Giants? You know, this team have probably one of the best goalkeepers we've ever had, Tyler Bescarwani. Probably one of the most gifted forwards we've ever had in Patrick Dwyer. And the newly record-breaking goal scorer for the Belfast Giants in Darcy Murphy. You know, are we equipped to get that final trophy?
Yeah, I think we'll have to dare to dream, Paddy. You know, as Joel has said, this is a small window in time. In 20 years, this club, we haven't had someone that scored on the cusp of scoring 50 goals and with other players at 20 and 30 goals and you know, multiple players up in the 70s and 80s and 90 points. You know, we have never had this selection of attacking talent backed up with three superb defensive lines with an outstanding goaltender. We are stacked top to bottom. If they're all fit and they're all raring to go and they're all with the right attitude, I want to dream about going to the playoff finals first. I want us to round the season out with another home win, make it 20 wins at home. I want to go to Coventry and close it out and get the playoff finals and just try and do it the way the boys have done it over the last 6 months, one step at a time. I don't want to dream about Sunday afternoon Nottingham yet. I'll worry about Saturday first.
Paddy, just talking, you're talking about, sorry, David was talking about Paddy Dwyer. Paddy Dwyer missed 22 league games this season with injury. 22. You know, let's be honest, you know, we ended up with 92 points. We all know how good Patrick Dwyer is. And when he's in our lineup, you know, I don't actually know. Davey will be able to tell me, well, might be able to tell me what the win percentage is with him being in. But, you know, if he'd have played all 60 of those games, we'd have been well clear, absolutely well clear of the Cardiff Devils this year. You know, the Cardiff Devils, as I said, they've played very, very well. We all team. You know, the budget they have down there is, you know, extortionate. And the, you know, Todd, yeah, I spoke to Todd Kelman yesterday. He rang up to congratulate us and I asked him to come on the podcast, but he says he's doing his nails tonight, so couldn't make it. But you know, he's very, very complimentary. He's, you know, said and we've touched on it already. He reckons this is the best team that he's seen in the Elite League. That's come from Todd Kelman.
Hands down, the best team.
He says the team that they had in Cardiff 2 years ago was absolutely outstanding.
Yes.
He thinks this is better.
Quite the compliment.
Well, look, we all know Todd. We know he's a legend in Belfast. He spent a lot of time on AVFTB and we know him from his playing days and his general manager days here at Belfast. Brought a lot of success. But that's big words coming from a GM of the ex Elite League champions.
Yeah. Interesting. Right. We've got a lot more to talk about, so let's batter ahead. First of all, just a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Beer 52, UK's number one craft beer delivery service. They give you a subscription and they'll bring you 8 fantastic beers every single month from different places around the world. If you like your dark beers, your light beers, whatever, they've got them. I've just had one while I've been doing this. It's very delicious. What was it actually? Aura. It's called Aura, and it was quite citrusy. Anyway, you can get that from beer52.com/AVFTB. And, of course, the first box when you subscribe is on us. Also, a big thanks to Funicab, who cover our Player of the Month award, even though Joel Neil doesn't use them.
He tried.
Ridiculous. We'll be talking about the Player of the Month in just a second. And also a big shout out for Total Performance Fitness, who back our post-game interviews that you can find on soundcloud.com/AVFTB and, of course, on the kingdomofthegiants.com website. Time for the final Player of the Month, sponsored by Phonacab. We opened nominations just the other day to ask you who you thought was March's Belfast Giants Player of the Month. And from your nominations, we've drawn up the following shortlist. Number 12, Kyle Bourne. Number 14, Jordan Smotherman. Number 34, Tyler Besker-Owani. And number 89, Jonathan Boxall. The voting is now open on twitter.com/AVFTB or go to @AVFTB on your Twitter app. You can see it on Facebook and on the kingdomofthegiants.com website. Voting will continue until Friday afternoon and we'll hopefully give the prize to who you choose as the March Player of the Month on Saturday in the game against the Coventry Blaze. And a big thanks to Phonicab for sponsoring the award. Cal Bond, Jordan Smotherman, Tyler Bescarawani, Jonathan Boxall. Davey, I'll start with you. Who are you picking?
Oh, for March?
Yep.
The Deadly Silence.
It's great radio. You
could really pick any of them, but I will say that defences and especially goaltending this season has won the championship. You know, the forwards and stuff have decided by how much. And, you know, those fine margins, even in the game on Saturday night against Dundee, a couple of the CS basically made no right to make them, that helped us win a championship. Honourable mention to all those other guys, had really, really good months as well. But I go for Besco.
Joe?
I'm nailing my colours to the mast this time on Johnny Boxall, the absolute embodiment of a Belfast giant down the stretch. You know, he'll by his own admission, he's not scoring goals like Darcy Murphy is, but the flashes and the moments that he gets, and he seems to just be in the right place for, he's a touch paper for the boys in the room and for the fan base. You can see how Boxy's very presence on the team, and that's off the ice as well as on, have just ignited the fan base down the stretch. I think he's been a really, really special piece of the puzzle that led to this championship winning team, and I think it would be only right to give him the nod. The other boys certainly proven all year long in terms of their contributions, but Boxy is, I don't think that we would be what we are without him in many, many ways. It's Boxy for me.
Simon?
I'm going to go for Bonner. You know, I can't shoot have it in front of me. Is it 37 goals this year so far, Davey?
Click one. Click
while Davey's chatting that up,
Kyle Baum has scored 39 goals.
39 goals. You know, he started off the season like a house on fire. Took a couple of blips and you know, long stretch. I think it was 11 and 14 games that he didn't score. But coming down the stretch and laying this season, he got a hat trick against Fife. He scored two against Dundee. He steps up, you know, when it's counted. He obviously picked up the coach's player of the year at the weekend itself. Kyle Bond for me was absolutely outstanding in March, and a major part in us picking up that Challenge Cup as well as the Elite League Championship.
Yeah! I'm going.
I'm Patrick Smith.
I'm going to go with. Well, we've had one of each. I'll go with Smo. Why not? So one of each. I think that Smo's been so, since he's come in, he's given that team the boost. Has he given the boost that's pushed us over the line? Quite possibly. Both him and Higgy coming in, but Smo, I think, is really, really stood out. His passion for the club's been phenomenal. His goal scoring, his assists, everything he's done in the last month, and one of the main reasons in the month of March that he is a standout guy for the Belfast Giants, not least with that overtime winner at the start of March to pick up the first trophy of the three that we've picked up in a single month. But those four nominees will be put on Twitter from 10 a.m. on Wednesday morning. You can start casting your vote on the Player of the Month for March. And thanks very much to Phonacab for sponsoring that award, as always. Right, around the league, gentlemen, and we actually start
Docs.
Docs.
Docs. Docs. Docs. Docs.
Matt MacGyver played that in the SSE Arena the other day, and I just couldn't help but just shout "Dops" every time. Anyway, Brett Bulmer of the Five Flyers, number 92 for the Five Flyers, has been assessed a 3-game suspension, a major for kneeing in the game against the Glasgow Clan. I think it was on Brendan Connolly. Says, you've seen this?
Yeah, I think it's a bit naughty. You know, he leaves his leg out. You know, from what I'm understanding, he's more like, well, he's done for the season, but world championships now are very, very doubtful. And that's, you know, he's had a pretty good year. We've seen how good he is last year when he was in Belfast, but I thought it was a naughty hit. Does it deserve three? After some of the decisions that they've made in the last couple of months, possibly not. But that's him out of the rest of the season for Bulmer unless they get to the playoff final.
Interesting one, Dave. You know, Bulmer does come in, he leaves his leg out there and hangs it out there and connects with Brendan Connolly. It's ruled him out of the quarterfinals against the Nottingham Panthers, and it puts Fife in a real difficult position in what is going to be two difficult games.
I'm more convinced he does hang the knee out. I'm just watching it again here in the frame by frame. I don't think he changes his tracks too far. Collins has his head down, to be fair, doesn't really see him coming to the very last minute. I'm just about to make contact here, see whether he moves. For fuck's sake, they've paused it and they're highlighting him. And
they do, yes.
Waiting all here. So, well, this is, again, great radio. Here we go. I'm going to go on. Zoomed in. It's a very, very unfortunate collision. Feel for Collins there. Whilst I'm, you know, and then dual nationals and stuff, he was playing really well. He's got himself in the GB squad and he'll be a miss for them if indeed he can't get himself fit again, because that looks a nasty collision. I'm not convinced Bulmer tries to do him, but he's got a 3-game ban, and unless something very, very, very the miracles that happen, you know, I can't see him playing again this season.
Playoff matchups. Now the league title is been decided in the Belfast Giants are champions. Have we mentioned that? Belfast versus Coventry, Cardiff versus Sheffield. One of those games, I think you've just sent us a thing there, says that it's on TV, is it?
Cardiff Sheffield Sunday night, second leg.
Second leg, and Cardiff is with our good friends on Free Sports with Aaron Murphy, who are also covering the Women's World Championships at the minute. Cardiff Sheffield, Nottingham Fife, as we just mentioned, and Clan Guildford, a matchup that nobody will see unless you go to the actual games, because neither side has a webcast. That means that Storm, Dundee, and of course Milton Keynes were eliminated. We'll come back to those playoff matchups towards the end of the show when we find out from you guys, and you can think now who your final four is going to be. Sunday night wasn't just the night that we won the Elite League title. Did I mention that? It was also, of course, the Belfast Giants Awards night. Running quickly through them, the official Supporters Club Junior Members Player of the Year was Tyler Besker-Owani. Defenceman of the Year was Kevin Rain. The OSC Adult Members Player of the Year was Dustin Johnner. Forward of the Year, Patrick Dwyer. Leading scorer, Darcy Murphy, with, of course, 49 goals and 49 assists. Is that right, Davey? 49 goals, 49 assists?
Correct.
Fans' favourite was Blair Riley. The President's Award, in honour, of course, of Jim Gillespie, the honorary life president of the Belfast Giants, was Jonathan Boxall. Unsung hero, Kendall McFall. Players' Player of the Year, Tyler Besker-Owani. Coaches' Player of the Year, Kyle Bond. And the MVP. It was quite a night for Tyler Besker-Owani. Joel, anything about those words? You know, you were there on the night, and you can't really argue with any of them.
No, absolutely not. The one that just sticks out to me, defenseman of the in wrestling, I believe you call it face turn. You know, you come in as sort of the villain. There's been a lot of talk and a lot of sort of disgruntlement on social media about some comments that may or may not have been taken out of context and whatever else. He's just very quietly gone about his business off ice. He has been ferocious on ice, and he couldn't deserve that award more. It's a beautiful sort of way to tie up that kind of story for Rainer. And to be honest, he lives in the same building as me. I see quite a bit of him, and he actually is just one of the most sound lads I've ever met. Kind of that's played for the team. Just a guy that really, really deserves the nod to come in kind of under those difficult circumstances and just put his money where his mouth is and do the job on the ice. Absolutely phenomenal.
Says you got up with Adam Keefe and helped present the award to Cal Bond.
Yeah, I can't disagree with Adam. You know, he's been absolutely good this year. Oh, penalty. You know, when you look at the guys that we Blair Riley has been outstanding. Darcy Murphy scored points for fun. You know, you look at the back end, Josh Roach had a great season, Paddy Dwyer, Besko, you know, you could have picked anybody for that trophy. And Bonner, again, you know, picking up. He's sitting fifth in the league at the end of the season in points. I was just looking at this earlier. Darcy's obviously finished his top point scorer in the league. Blair Reddy's 7th. Dwyer's 16th with 61 points, only played 38 games. Josh Roach, 2nd highest defenseman point scorer this season in the league with 54 points. You could pick any one of those. Adam, I think it's a good choice by Adam and thoroughly deserved by
Davey, President's Award, Johnny Boxall, Unsung Hero, Kendall McFaul, and a whole host of Tyler Bescarwani.
The guys have gone through, their thoughts and the awards that were handed out. For me, I think Kevin Rayne has been the MVP of the season. This is a guy that came back in, as Joel said, he went out with a flea in his ear for comments that were said. And, whether they were meant in the way they were meant. That's, he came on the View from the Bridge and made his explanations, and he has came back. He started, I think his first game back was the first game of our road swing away to Milton Keynes.
That's right.
And he has simply been a phenomenal brick in the wall in front of Tyler Bescarwani. All those other guys, such good shots. Josh Roach, outstanding. Tyler Bescarwani, sensational. Darcy Murphy scored 40-50 goals. Bonner, you could go down. And that's why we've won so much and why we've an opportunity to win more. Because we've got guys, over 90 points from Darcy Murphy, over 90 points from Kyle Bond. The start of the season when Blair Reilly was injured, we're dead last. I think when Rayner actually signed, we were dead last in the league. And those guys coming back in, that line lighting up of, Rudy, Blair Reilly and Darcy Murphy, carried the team for a big chunk of that sort of up the Christmas period. We weren't getting the secondary scoring when Bonner dried up, and then when he came back, it's really pushed us through that second half of season. Paddy Dwyer's just came up with massive goals, and he's missed sort of five games, chunks he's missed. Yeah. When Vandy went missing, with injury early in the season, we struggled as well. When we have a fully fit roster, and Adam Keefe has really, really painful decisions to make as to who he leaves out. We are a hell of a hockey team, and you could nearly pick anyone out of that squad and give them an MVP award, and you would have 50 people would be able to give a very good reason why they deserved it. So for me, Rayner is my MVP, but there's a whole host of players in there. I'm very much of that school of thought, and I said it earlier in the podcast, that defence wins championships. Forwards decide by how much we win games, Rayner, there you go.
Guys, sorry, Paddy, and I know we're going on and on, but of all the names we've mentioned there, nobody's mentioned Dustin Johnner.
Yeah, he did get the Official Supporters Club Player of the Year.
Yeah, absolutely, and again, he's been absolutely outstanding. Davey, many face-offs he's taken over.
He just hits you with these questions as if you're meant to be. There you go.
Just opening the laptop. Favorite came up. Might have to play the music, Paddy, because this could take a while.
I'm pretty sure it's over 1,400.
Oh, I'd have been in and around 1,500. For the sake of argument.
And the big thing about it is that's more than 100% than any other player. In our team, more than 100%.
Where are you getting these stats from?
No, what I mean is that Blair Reddy was, that 2 weeks ago, Blair Reddy was 590 or something, and he was more than 100% more than that, so it's up to 1,300, whatever it was. He's missed two games towards the end of the season, picked up a bit of a knock. Great to see him back on Saturday against Dundee. But, Dustin Johnner's had a brilliant season, so I think it's 29 goals he's got, which is just outstanding after the season he had last year. And he talked about it at the start of the year, coming back and proving the point. I think he's absolutely proved that point.
And just before we move on, I want to give a quick, I don't want to do it, but just a quick honourable mention, because obviously you've won the league title and everybody's put a shift in. I just want to give an honourable mention to Frankie Bevilier, Hunter Bishop, Matt Toe and Guillaume Gellis, who, despite the fact that they haven't been part of the on-ice team for as long as maybe some of us wanted them to be, or they wanted them to be, or maybe just had to move on in the way that they did, they were still part of this team, still part of this title-winning side, and still part of a team that went on to win the Elite League Championship.
Paddy, can I jump in real quick on that one?
Go on.
in terms of games, Jelena, whenever we won bounced out onto the ice, tells you everything you need to know about what we've talked about tonight, about the dressing room. How tough is it to come in as a young guy and spend the year on the sideline like that, knowing that you're not directly contributing? But whenever you see little moments like that, and he was there on the awards night, set hard, he does it as much as anybody else. That's a real psychological test to go through and know that you're not contributing week in, week out. So I couldn't agree more. Here to that.
Time for the fan agenda brought to you by our friends at Belfast Giants TV. And, well, who else could we have on? It's the three-time Elite League champion and a first time as a head coach, Adam Keefe. How are you?
Not bad, guys. I've certainly had worse weekends.
Congratulations, sir. One hell of a weekend, not just in performance. You know, I said earlier on, over the course of the last week with those four games, 25 goals scored. You know, I spoke to you post-game in Manchester where you were obviously very frustrated. You said about how, you know, you need to score more than two goals in a game. We've went in, we've scored seven, we've scored six. You know, the guys are firing on all cylinders. And then for what happened on Sunday to happen is just a fitting way to end the weekend.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's not ideal to be behind in the title race. You know, it's obviously tough and you have to keep winning to give yourselves that chance and keep applying pressure on the team above you. And, you know, that's all we could do. And yeah, certainly going back to Manchester, it certainly felt like a big knock on those chances. But, you know, we just had to keep going one game at a time and try and keep the pressure on. And it wasn't easy, that's for sure. But the guys, you know what, they stuck with it. And, you know, that you think back to the Saturday game against Dundee at home, and that one was a real battle to get those 2 points. And, you know, because you're doubtful that Cardiff may lose, you know, it's easy to say, you know, we could let that game slip. And, you know, obviously we're very thankful that we didn't let that slip, because it would have been really painful for the next day to find out, you know, that we had missed out.
Coach, Paddy obviously introduced you there as, you know, now three-time Elite League champion, and congratulations, of course, on your latest win. But how does this compare, that you're not the guy that's down blocking the shots and having the fights and scoring the goals? You know, you're the guy responsible for putting the lines out there and for putting the whole thing together. Does it feel different, or does it feel better, different?
I wouldn't say it's better or worse. I'd just say it's different. You know, that's probably the good word to describe it. Certainly, when you're a player, you go through that physical, abuse you put yourself through for 8 months, and you ride that roller coaster with, you know, I think we have 23 other guys or 22 other guys, whatever it is, the numbers. Whereas when you're the coach, you're kind of looking at the bigger picture of the entire season. So I think things are different, certainly. There's a lot of stress involved, a lot more stress involved as a coach throughout the entire season. But it's not to say that the players don't go through stress as well. So, you know, for me, it was just a proud moment. You're proud of your guys that especially because I've been through it as a player. I understand how grueling an 8-month season can be on you, and not just physically, mentally as well. And to see it all come to a close on the final day, and for it to have paid off and been meaningful. And you could just see in that room what it meant to not just the players, everybody that was in that hotel bar. It was really a special way to end the regular season, and I don't think we'll ever get one like that. And it was just great. It was there's not really many words you can use to describe it, and I think that everybody's still kind of shocked and excited.
You know, you talk there about the pride in your players and the pride in your staff and the pride in, you know, around the organization. Do you take a couple of just to have a little bit of pride in the achievement of what you've done over the last 2 years?
Well, I'm certainly happy with you know, the start of my coaching career. That's for sure. Coming into it, not really knowing, you know, really anything on how to, just kind of going into it blind and jumping into it. And all I knew was, you know, just to learn on the job every day and try to surround myself with good people. And I certainly have that in our staff, and we, you know, we're learning lessons as we go. Even this year, you know, we'll learn lessons and try to apply it next year. But really, my main motto has been surround myself with some good people, and usually good things happen. And that's what we have here, not just in the locker room, but throughout the entire organization. So, again, we're just trying to build each day, and I'm no different. You know, there's players make a lot of mistakes on the ice, and I make a lot of mistakes behind the bench and at home and all sorts. So we're all just trying to learn and get better every day. So I'm certainly excited and happy the way things have gone, but just got to try and stay focused and finish the job.
Adam, I want to take you back to January. Two weekends in a row, the devastating loss in the Continental Cup, the post, basically, width of a post to Arlan. And then the following week, the doubleheader in Cardiff, when you lost both games as well. How hard was it? And I know this is a big part of your job, to get the guys. How hard was it to get the boys back to, you know, their mindset to basically start winning the game? Because you then went on, I think it was the next seven games you won in a row, starting off with a doubleheader against Fife at home.
Yeah, the Continental Cup was a devastating loss. We really thought we had it, and you know, we obviously wanted it, and I wanted it for the players. Especially, it's a special trophy that you know, you get to play for teams from different countries and different leagues, and it's just different, and it's kind of exciting as a player. And I know that there's always there's always some people that think that it's a distraction from the league, and it certainly is. But at the same time, like, when you're a player or you're involved in any team, you want to play for championships. And so, you know, it's exciting. And yes, it's a challenge for the league title and to stay focused. And obviously, there's always a risk for injuries and just added fatigue. And you look what it did to our schedule this year with the 3-3s. I mean, I think that those could have cost us the season in itself, the 3-3s. But, and that's what makes this one so special, is that we went through all those extra games and all those long weekends. And that's why I wanted success for this group, that they handled it great. And they did exactly what we asked of them when we went on that road trip, was to you know, realize that it's still hockey. It doesn't matter if we're on the road for 2 months or what, it's still a hockey game. And they showed up and they battled hard that entire trip, and that's a massive reason why we're sitting here talking on the phone about being elite league champions now. But in relation to your question, sorry, they're running on. It wasn't easy to pick them back up after that weekend. You know, they're going into Cardiff, a doubleheader, not ideal. And I thought we just had to chase the game too much in Cardiff. And I could tell our guys, you know, we're still working hard, just didn't really have our execution down, and just wasn't there. And I think that mentally, the Continental Cup defeat had an effect on the following weekend. You know, to go into Cardiff not even a week later was tough on the guys. And obviously we slipped up, and we're just, the next week we talked about having fun again, getting back to having fun on the ice and smiling and laughing. Once we do that and we play loose, our guys' quality shines through.
Coach, you've got quite a good poker face. You're always very kind of measured in your responses in post-game, regardless of whether it's been a huge win or a kind of devastating loss. But to be head coach and to win a league title, you're sort of carrying everyone on your shoulders, be it the players, the fan base, the staff. It all kind of falls on you in the end. Whenever that third goal went in and the game actually finished, what were your immediate feelings? Can you even describe the relief that suddenly all that stress just lifts at once? And have you ever experienced anything like it?
No, obviously not as a coach. And I mean, I guess to go back to last year, I mean, the first Challenge Cup and our first trophy in, I think it was 4 years or 3 years or whatever it was, you know, that was a great feeling as well. And I think that that one kind of lifted a little weight off the shoulders. And I would say it's very, very similar, but the Challenge Cup wouldn't have been quite as big as the feeling that we had on Sunday night. And that's due to a lot of sacrifice from everybody involved for 8 months. And, you know, when you think back, and I was watching some of the highlights there during the awards, and you just think about all the little moments that happened throughout the entire season. And, you know, they all make sense and they all add up now. And, you know, that's when it becomes all worth it. And so it was a special moment. I mean, yeah, it certainly lifted a lot of stress off the shoulders, that's for sure.
Got to go to Twitter. We as we do normally do, and when we got somebody on, you know, we asked for a few questions. Sometimes we get like two or three. Sometimes we get five or six. We've got 30. Now, we're not going to go through all these. And some of them are people like Thomas Burnley and Pauline Allen are basically just saying thank you and good luck and wishing you well. And thinking, you know, thank you for everything they've done in regards to the league title. But with some of the questions, we've got Stevie Thompson, I'll start with. Throughout the 60-game league season, what game or moment did you feel that this team could or would be champions?
There was a lot of moments that I thought we could be, that's for sure. You know, I think that we can't look past there was two moments in the SSC arena this year when I'll never forget them. And, you know, one of those was the Continental Cup final comeback, you know, Dustin Johnner's goal. To tie it up, I've never felt the building like that, and yeah, that was pretty special. Even though we lost, and you know, I look at that and I think, obviously, we were post away from winning it, and you want to look back and say, what if it went in, and how great would it be now? But you know, I think that loss helped define us and taught us a massive lesson, and we wanted to make sure that we got that Challenge Cup and obviously push forward with the league. And I think that's everybody has to go through some adversity to win, and we certainly did that. I'd say the second moment was the doubleheader versus Cardiff at home. Just the crowd was amazing again and really pushed on, and the players were great, and they were two of the best hockey games I've seen in a long time. So it was just a great way to put ourselves back into the title race. And you know, I would say that would be the main turning point.
If you look, Coach, we obviously, the last few years with how busy the SSE is, we've had to go on these long road swings. And, you know, we've came back into the SSE after that road swing and we've gone, I think it's unbeaten in league form, something 18 or 19 games. You know, making the Odyssey a fortress again has been key to success.
Absolutely. I think if we could have done that last year, you would have seen us be league champions last year. I think we came home last year and we struggled. And, you know, for whatever reason, it didn't feel, for some reason, maybe because the games have been so tough and the parity across the league has been so good that, you know, somebody had told me our home record there, and I didn't know, because it doesn't feel like that when you're fighting for every game. It does. It can be stressful, and sometimes you forget just how good each win was. But no, that's certainly when you have that many home games post Christmas, you want to make them count, and our guys did that this year, and that's a credit to the fan base and the atmosphere they provide for the players.
Adam, there's a question here from some guy called Rob Sandrock. He says, Hi Adam Keith, how's it going? Your team had the most goals for this season. I feel like this is a direct reflection of you as you were as a player. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think he's got it nailed on the head there. No, that's why we have Steve Thornton, and obviously recruiting good players and guys who can score goals. That's important because I'm certainly not going to be able to teach them how to score goals.
And my second one is, what did you think of Ross Manley's video?
Oh my God,
it's amazing.
That was amazing. That was great. That's just passion, and that's good. We have that in spades from our fan base, and that's what we want our players to play with. So it's nice to see. It was great for Ross, and obviously very happy for him to win as well.
I couldn't agree more with that. Just absolutely brilliant. Just pure innocent joy. I'm going to pull one from Gaza, WeGaza1996 on Twitter. We spoke earlier in the show before you came on about Simon Kitchen's rally pants, and he's going to tell you about those. But did you really throw a new pair of socks in the bin when the score was 2-1 on Sunday?
It's a 2-1 game. We're playing great.
I didn't throw them in the bin. I threw them in, the laundry bin. No, I actually put on just a pair of socks that I like to call our lucky socks.
Oh my God!
I hadn't been wearing them all day, and I put them on. And the moment I put them on, and took a step out, Colleen yelled up that it was 2-1. And I was like,
"It's a 2-1 game. We're playing great."
Yeah, so I took those socks back off.
I think we need to call for an amnesty here for everyone that puts on the same clothes to watch a Giants game. Simon Kitchen has a pair of very well-worn lucky pants, and there's the lucky socks. I want to hear about more of these.
Yeah, it's a stupid thing because it has zero effect on the game. But for
stats don't lie. Stats don't lie.
Yeah, whatever it does, it calms the nerves.
Stuart Levin asks on Twitter, I know we've got another four games to win and grab another trophy, but have you started plans for next season?
Yeah, I mean, somewhat. We're certainly focusing on this season first and foremost, but we have no choice but to look forward to next season and start to build and try to lock players down for next season. And we'd love to keep them all, but the reality is some players won't be playing next season, and some players will move on. We just need to figure out what we have left and what we need to bring in. But obviously that goes on throughout the portion of the season. Nothing like it is in the summer, but we certainly are keeping our eyes open and making sure that we don't neglect next season as well.
Coach, I have a fair idea what the answer might be, but over when Doug Christensen's team, he sort of talked about the collective exhale after winning a championship, difficult to refocus again for the playoffs. Do you think that this week practice on their way again and be able to really double down and get focused for the Coventry game?
I don't think there'll be a problem getting focused. I understand that. I'm not really sure I believe in it. The Challenge Cup, I can understand how it does when it does happen. People look at that as a reason, but the games that I've, like I said before, the games that I've been involved in when we won and played the next weekend, like Challenge Cup, the next weekend, I thought we were great. The next practice, I thought we were great. I thought it was one of our best practices of the season after we won a trophy. Last season, it didn't go our way, but I thought the same thing after the Challenge Cup. I thought we were great all week in practice, and I thought we started the game well, which we ended up losing that one, and then we went on a slide. But I don't have I don't see us losing focus here. The guys are they want more, and I told them, be selfish, want more, and I think we certainly will. Now, that's not to being said that, this is sport and this is competitive sport, and everybody that's earned the right to be in the playoffs is going to play hard, and they're all going to compete hard. There's not going to be any easy games, and, we have to be at our best or we won't get through, and that's really it. I mean, everybody's as we've seen, we should learn from that this season that on any given night, anybody can beat anybody in this league. And it's important that we realize that and stay focused.
Adam, on Sunday night at the awards dinner, you chose Kyle Bond as the teacher's pet. Sorry, as the as the coach's player of the year. How hard a decision was that for you? Because, in all fairness, you've had some top-notch performances and players playing so well this year.
Yeah, it's an extremely tough one to have to pick. You know, there's so many guys that could be the coach's player of the year. And there's so many guys that could have won all those trophies that were up for grabs. And I think this season was in particular, it was tough. I was just doing the league voting myself for all the stuff, and you just want to put your entire team down. So, it was tough, but, you know, Kyle definitely deserves it. I mean, he's a guy that just every night his engine, you know, he just keeps going, and you always get the same thing. I'm never really concerned if he's going to show up and have an off night. It's always – his legs are always moving, and he's a workhorse. So, and not just that, you know, he's a positive guy every day in the locker room, and that helps. You know, there's a lot of times that you're not in the greatest mood, and just to walk in the room and have some guys just crack a joke or say hello and be positive. And I think that really is contagious. And you need a lot of guys like that in the room, especially over the course of 8 months when you're not always going to be in the best of moods.
Coach, there's a Twitter question. Well, I guess it's a question, yeah, from Sarah Lynn. She's got a guy who looks really, really suspiciously familiar in her profile photo. It just says, can you make sure clearly gets on his scheduled flight home? Is that in your job description?
I hope he doesn't. We might lock him down here. Obviously she's having a bit of fun, but we would certainly love to keep him here, that's for sure.
Just one more. Stephen McBlain pointed it out, obviously, after the absolute roller coaster that has been the Elite League season so far, one championship still to play for, you then have to turn your focus to Great Britain and the world. Have you even had time to think about that yet?
Yeah, well, I don't have any choice but to think about it because obviously there's the 28-man roster, and then there's been a couple of injuries, and there's been some changes but to be made, and that's, so obviously we have to speak about that, and obviously we have to prepare as well for that, and what an experience that'll be. So it's been a great year so far. I just want to stay focused here and get the job done, the last one, or at least we want to get to the final four, and that's very important. And like I said, this weekend's going to be another massive weekend for us.
We're going to wrap things up here in a second, Coach, and we appreciate your time tonight. The one thing I want to pick up on just from something you said earlier on is it's about the room. When we talk to guys like Boxy or Darcy or Besco or John or
Curtis Leonard,
these guys all talk about the room and how good a room it is this year, about how the atmosphere is great, that they socialize together, they're a tight-knit bunch. Let's make no mistake, that's not common, is it?
Well, I mean,
to be as tight-knit?
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, it's I would say it's common. I mean, but winning certainly helps that. Like I said before, you know, part of our jobs when recruiting, Steve and I, is to do extensive background checks, essentially, on guys and make sure that you're bringing in good people. And that's very high on our list of priorities for our background checks on guys, our reference checks. You know, when you get reference checks back and guys are great people, that's somebody you want involved in your organization. That's obviously helps. Like I said, it's 8 months is a long, grueling season, and you need good people around you or it's not going to work.
The last question goes to Stephen at Stevie1601. He says, do you now find it hard to make time to give Sheldon coaching advice?
Yeah, I'm a long ways away from that. That's for sure. I don't think I'll ever be giving him advice. No, I mean, look, he certainly has helped me in the times I need it, but I also understand how busy he is. I'm probably a lot more busy than me, but I understand the work that I have to go through just to try to prep myself and prep the team. And then you couple all the stress on top of that. I certainly don't want to be bugging him every week. So, but anytime I've needed help, he's certainly a guy to help out. And, you know, and touching on the coaching side of it, you know, my staff has been amazing this season, and the help that they've brought in with Patrick Dwyer, Jonathan Ferlin, Jim Vandermeer, and obviously Stewie. These are all guys I'm learning from every day as well. So I've had amazing people around me.
Coach, an amazing season that isn't finished yet. 2 weeks ahead that could just top everything off. And you've got a hell of a couple of weeks ahead before you even start thinking about flying out with GB. Thank you very much for your time and congratulations.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks very much to Kiefer. Right, playoffs, they begin right by Belfast Giants take on the Coventry Blaze on Saturday at 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena. 0870-273-9074 for your tickets, or get them online. If you can't get down there, Belfast Giants TV with Mr. Kitchen and Mr. Mason. And then the away game is on Sunday at 6 p.m. at the Sky Dome. Blaze TV with Ed Kimberley, or I believe you can go to the Odyssey Cinema with the USC, it says.
Yep. What do you call them, all the ones?
Clean Cut Sports.
That's them. Thanks very much to the company sports for giving us authorization to use that. And we'll be having the cinema on Sunday night at 6 p.m. face off. I thought it was 5:15 originally. Nope. So, doors open 5:30.
Due to I think there's a few things on in Coventry, not least the Coventry City game, and they've moved it out to 6 p.m. to accommodate that. 6 p.m. on Sunday. Before we chat about it, let's hear from the head coach of the Coventry Blaze, Danny Stewart.
I'm delighted to be joined now by the Belfast Giants fan base's second favourite head coach, at least until this weekend, the Coventry Blaze's Danny Stewart. Coach, first of all, thank you for taking the time out. I know you've been on bedtime duty with your little ones before the call. Was that a successful mission, first of all?
Yeah, I got a good wife, so it makes the process a lot easier.
Now listen, I'm just going to cut straight to it. If I know you at all as a player and as a coach, doing Belfast a favour was the last thing on anyone's mind in that Blaze room ahead of puck drop against the Cardiff Devils on Sunday. Can you talk to me a little bit about what the motivation was with that playoff spot already secure?
Well, we obviously we're quite aware on the Wednesday we had played against Belfast at home and really had a disappointing first period, first 22 minutes of the game. We just weren't switched on and they made us pay. They're a good team and there's a reason why they're champions. And you know, as we picked ourselves back up and we went into Manchester, you know, previously to that game we had been playing some good hockey, and we went into Manchester, very tough place to play, and played arguably our best game of the season. And you know, going into the game on Sunday against Cardiff, we just tried to emphasize that, you know, I didn't like the way we felt. I didn't like the way I felt after that game on Wednesday. And after the high of Saturday, I didn't want to go back down to that. And, you know, it's important to, you know, this game is a confidence thing and it's a momentum thing. And the last thing we wanted to do is go out there and just, you know, go half-assed about it. Excuse my language.
Not at all.
You know, And you know what, just pick up some bad habits. And, you know, I think sometimes when you do that too, that's where injuries, you know, you pick up some injuries. And we knew they were going to come, so I think we matched that. And I think, you know, obviously the idea of another team celebrating and winning a championship on our home ice was something that motivated the guys as well to not allow it to happen. So I think all those contributing factors were, you know, the reason why we came out and played as well as we did.
Yeah, I mean, and as a fan, I mean, I've watched other teams clinch on our ice and it genuinely really hurts. But not only that, you gave your home fans a monumental battle to close out the regular season.
Well, we owed it to them. You know, like I said, on Wednesday, it was probably our worst performance of the season. And we, you know, our results have been up and down, but we have certainly been competitive in every game we've been in this year. And, you know, probably other than that one. And, you know, the game was over after 22 minutes. And then after that, we had a little bit of fight back, but the deficit was just too much. And you know, it was good to give them something to get excited about and give them another performance on our next home game.
And you touched on that kind of momentum. What did it mean to clinch that playoff spot over the Manchester Storm this season? I just, from my point of view, the Elite League has been absolutely wild from top to bottom this year. And the fight for those kind of last few playoff spots were just as competitive as I've ever seen it. What did it mean both to yourself as a coach, to the boys in the room, and to the club?
It means everything. I mean, we, you know, obviously at the start of the year, we had set some goals for ourselves, and then reaching the playoffs is one. Did we plan on clinching it in the last weekend of the season? No. I mean, just like any other team, we would like to have been. Yeah, and then you know, we would have liked to have been up there in the standings. But it's such a fine line this year. I mean, we're talking, I think, with 5 points difference between ourselves and Glasgow, yep. who ended up in, Guildford, who ended up in fourth place. And I mean, it's ridiculous how fine of a line that is. I mean, you turn over two games against any of those teams from 10 to 4 and, you know, you're reversing positions. And, yeah. You know, if we had finished in fourth place this year, it would be hailed as a fantastic season for the Coventry Blaze. And we were two or three wins away from that. And it would have been a shame that if we just missed out by a point or 2 points, it would have been looked at as a complete failure. So, you can see what the fine line is between success and failure this season. And that's a testament to the league. It's fantastic. There wasn't an easy night all year, even MK. I mean, they were short-bodied and you got a feel for them at times, but they still competed. It's first half of the year before they hit the troubles. They were beat teams. They beat us a couple times. So, like I said, it was as good as a league top to bottom as I've seen in the 13 years I've been here.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And there are teams with a final position that maybe doesn't reflect just how competitive they've been on the ice. But with that said, with the seasons what they are, I think it's worth looking back to 2014-15 when Coventry finished sixth in the league and ended up going all the way in the playoffs. You know, that final against the Sheffield Steelers, an absolute thriller. For as much discussion as the UK's playoff structure gets, would you say that it opens the door for those kind of big upsets to the seasons?
Yeah, I think so. I think in these two-game aggregates, you know, anything from, you know, some good puck locks, some good bounces, you know, calls going one way or the other, and, you know, certainly a hot goalie can make all the difference in the world. So two games is what it is, and due to the fact that it's aggregated, it becomes almost a one-game event of six periods, and you just got to look at it that way, and I think anything's possible this time of year.
And you mentioned hot goalie there, funnily enough. In your mind, who are your key guys heading into this kind of final couple of weeks of the Elite League calendar? From my own perspective, just after getting off to maybe a little bit of a rocky start, Hackett has been hugely impressive in the Blaze goal. Who do you see as your key guys over the next couple of weeks?
Well, he certainly has to be one of them. I think every team will say that your goalie's got to be your best player if you're going to make a run and win a trophy in a short competition. And I think, you know, Ben Lakes had a breakout year, and he, you know, that line of Paulie, him and Crowder are going to have to really step up and be our top line. And, you know, Alex Nikiforuk's been fantastic for us this season on the power play. And you know what, you know, due to some key injuries to guys, he maybe hasn't had those, you know, I think prototypical top six guys to play with all year. And, but he's, you know, he's contributed and we'll need him to be a big player. RD of, you know, I think it's been a tough year for RD in terms of going through four or five goalies here and, you know, at times playing good hockey in front of them and goals still going in the back of the net. And it messes with your mental. And I think, you know, that weekend was big for him. You know, we only gave up two goals on the weekend due to Hackett and we defended very well. And I think them getting confidence and them playing well will give us the best chance to give Belfast a run.
And before we sort of finish up here and just look at the weekend, I want to talk just a little bit about coaching. This is the first chance we've had to speak this season. Like Adam Keefe, you obviously won your fair share of silverware in the EIHL as a player. You're a three-time league champ and a Challenge Cup champ in a Blaze uniform. And then like Adam Keefe, you've progressed into coaching in this league. How have you found that transition? What's life like now compared to whenever you were sitting up with the other boys?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I've been doing it for, God, I think it's 9 seasons now. Obviously started back in after I left the Blaze and went to Newcastle as a player coach and then on to Fife and, you know, did a lot of things with that organization. But those were all as a player coach. And, yeah. You know, once I transitioned and just, you know, when the playing went away and just transitioned to coaching, I think the biggest thing was, I'm sure Keith can say the same, is, you know, we were both feisty guys. We both played the game with a lot of intensity and feistiness. And I think, you know, not being able to exert that on the bench was a tough transition. And, you know, you getting control of your emotions and, you know, first year, even second year, and don't get me wrong, I'll always be, you know, a bit feisty and a bit passionate, but I think this year I've really learned to kind of calm my emotions a little bit more. And, you know, that transition takes some time, and, yeah, you know, you got to sit on the bench, and, you know, it's not like you can go out there and get a hit or a fight or score a goal to help your team. You got to remain calm and to make the right decisions and, you know, help your guys do the work for you.
I've definitely rattled a few cages in the media box just watching the game, so I can't imagine what it's like for you. It's much, much easier said than done in the heat of the moment. But listen, before we wrap it up, Coach, does the game plan change heading into this weekend, you know, in terms of how you address these games? What's your mindset ahead of that first leg in Belfast on Saturday night?
Well, again, it's me. Some of these guys have never played an aggregate-type format before in their life, so it's really important to stay focused for 120 minutes because example, it could be a 2-2 game, a 3-1 game, whatever the case may be. And, you know, maybe a 3-1 game, you take your foot off the gas a little bit at the end and you give up another one. And then you got that bigger hill to climb on the next night. So you really got to stay focused. You got to see it as a six period game, and guys got to be aware of that. And, you know, talking about it's good for these guys, because like I said, a lot of them haven't done it. As far as our game plan, you know, we played some of our best hockey, maybe arguably our best hockey of the season this past weekend. And, you know, we'll watch a lot of video of the good things we did and focus a lot on ourselves. Obviously, we were aware of Belfast, and, you know, we've had the benefit of playing them, I believe, four times in the last month or so. So, you know, their game and, you know, their special teams, all that stuff is still fresh in our minds, and we'll have subtle reminders for guys, and, you know, we're all on the same page on what to look for. But I think the big focus has got to be on what we do well and how we're successful, and we really got to focus on that and execute that.
Yeah, and you're coming in with that momentum, and believe me, there's nobody taking it for granted in Belfast for one second. Listen, I'm going to stop short of wishing you luck, Coach, but I wish you and the boys safe travels, and we'll hopefully catch up this weekend. Really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem at all, guys.
Thanks to him. Thanks to Danny. I'll start with you, Davey. What are the dangers here, the Coventry Blaze? They must be confident.
We had a look at them twice over, you know, a couple of weekends ago. They were both, I know the first game finished, I think it was 4-1, a couple of empty net sort of shots towards the end of the game. Both 2-1 games. And
it's a 2-1 game. We're playing great.
Thank you. 2-2-1 games there, and we know they're tight at the back. Hackett, if Hackett can come up with a good performance, they're a hard team to beat. We know we went to Coventry and sort of did a number on them as well. So it's going to be a difficult game. They proved last weekend that, you know, when they're hungry. Danny Stewart said himself after, I think, Sunday night, you know, it's probably their best two games of the season. I watched the last 20 minutes of the Storm game on Saturday night, and, you know, like the Storm absolutely pumped them in the last 20 minutes, but they were able to hold out. Good goaltending, blocking shots, getting in lanes, making it difficult. So I don't expect a sort of easy weekend. I think we have to really focus hard on Saturday night, make sure we're going on the Sunday with something to take the Coventry to make the night easier than it could be.
Home ice advantage is an interesting one, especially in this league. Says, you know, I saw some people talking about how they were disappointed the Giants don't have the second game, the second leg, to have that home ice advantage. But take nothing away, the fact that this forces Coventry to travel twice.
And that's, you know, that it does take a bit of energy out of you too. You know, the Giants are, after the news on Sunday night about winning the league, they don't know if you...
Did we? Nice one.
I'm not sure, mate. With, you know, picking up the Elite League Championship on Sunday night, I know Brooksy was talking to me on Monday, and he said that sold 800 tickets in the 3 hours after the announcement, after the Coventry game had finished, and then before 12 o'clock on Monday. They are putting the extra seats in. The East End's going in this weekend, so it's going to be I'm pretty sure it's going to be sold out. So, you know, getting that vocal support from the Belfast Giants fans for the last home game of the season is absolutely crucial. And, you know, again, the Coventry Blaze have done us a favour. We'll give them a bit of a clap on the ice on Saturday. Once the warm-up's done, let's get to war and get two wins, hopefully, to push us on to the playoff weekend.
Well, but then let's make a quick, before we go into any other business, gents, let's make a quick round the table here. Final four predictions. As I said, your matchups are Belfast, Coventry, Cardiff, Sheffield, Nottingham, Fife, and Clan Guildford. Let's start with Joel.
Yeah, had a little thing about this today. Belfast are beating Coventry. This is, bring up an old hashtag, this is the year. I think Sheffield are going to beat the downtrodden and defeated Cardiff. I think Nottingham are going to beat Fife. And Guildford, having come so close during the season and the cup final and the pain that they're feeling there, plus the Clan have an illustrious history of bottling it. So it'll be lovely to see Guildford go through. So Belfast, Sheffield, Nottingham, Guildford.
That puts us against Guildford in the semi-final. David?
I agree.
Same four?
Same four.
Okay. Simon?
I've just got one change. I think Cardiff will beat Sheffield.
There's a shout there. Like,
I think Cardiff will beat Sheffield. I think, you know, Cardiff will be hurting, make no mistake about it, but I do think they'll beat Sheffield. Guildford, absolutely. I think they'll go through. Connolly's going to be a big miss for the Glasgow Clan. He has been he's been excellent this season for them. From what I'm hearing, Rumpel's getting a lot of flack from his own fans for being crap at the weekend. And Nottingham, you know, from what their Twitter's been saying, they're getting a couple of guys back from injury. You know, at the end of the day, guys want to play in the playoffs. Four games, it's a potential, all you need to win, actually technically you only need to win three, but four games can win you a trophy. And I would say there are guys who are maybe hurting, feeling in a bit of pain, take a job, let's get ready to go, and hopefully, as I say, the Belfast Giants can go out there and bring a playoff trophy home, because that would be awesome. And I would love to get the Cardiff Devils fans, just give them a wee wave on the way out.
I'm going to a little bit different. I'm going to go for Belfast, of course, Cardiff, Fife,
ooh,
and Guildford. Fife and Todd Doodham, he knows how to win in the playoffs. He's got Fife to the playoff finals in, what, two of the last 4 years? He knows how to get a team through to that final four. Nottingham are no great shakes, let's be fair. You know, I don't really rate Rick Strachan. I don't think they've got the team. They may have had a little bit of a bounce recently, but I could see neither Sheffield nor Nottingham being at this final four.
I hope you're right, like, but I just think Fife are just a little bit too short benched.
They're hurting at the minute. Yeah. I had a great idea.
I hope you're right.
Get guys back off the dead Paddy's. I mean, imagine getting in there with no orange man and no gold man. Sorry, David, I know you'll be there.
I didn't argue with any of yours.
Hey, I'm not arguing with you, man. I just think that would be odd.
It's the end of the season. We're all getting ideas.
I would actually like your four instead of my four.
Right, well, I'll keep those till next week and we'll see where we ended up with. Any other business, boys?
Oh, just one thing. I forgot about there that I'd put on the shirt for auction for all the money going to the Gasper Family Foundation in memory of Troy Gasper, Kendall McFaul's buddy. Bid stands at 200 quid at the minute, which is a heck of a so. But if anybody wants to beat that, go for it. There's a GoFundMe page. Said if anybody puts any money at all on, put them on a draw for a couple of tickets for Saturday night's maybe sold out game, so it's got opportunity for you to give some money to a great cause and possibly win a ticket for the game. So if you can support that, please do.
Fantastic. I've just got one as well, actually one leading into another one. I want to say a massive thank you to the OSC committee and members for this season. We've been the events we've organized, the staff that the volunteers that have basically been doing the desk at all the home games, putting their time and efforts in. I really couldn't thank them enough. So their support and their all their hard work is very, very much appreciated. That leads into the second one with the, we've already mentioned, but just to get details on tickets for this Sunday. Tickets are going very well. So if you want to get them now. Don't be waiting until Saturday and Sunday because I'm pretty sure it will be sold out by then. Cinema game, second leg against the Coventry Blaze. at the odysseycinema.co.uk.
Anything for you, Joe?
Loads of love to Michael Barr, who obviously had a close family death last week. Often the first one in, the last one out, and just very soft for this club, and just a total sweetheart, and love him to bits, and we're all thinking of him.
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear.
Okay, well, thanks to Adam Keith, Danny Stewart, and all the lads who spoke to Cez and Joel at Crown Plaza from the Elite League champion Belfast Giants. Did I mention that? big thanks to Belfast Giants TV, Free
still,
Sports.
Go on. It's still a bit unreal. Not really sure if I believe it.
That's why I have to keep mentioning it. Big thanks to Belfast Giants TV, Free Sports, Clean Cut Sports for allowing us to use the audio in the piece earlier on. Keep in touch with us via Twitter at AVFTB, KingdomTheGiants.com, Facebook, and listen to all our audio content on SoundCloud.com/AVFTV. Thank you very much to David, to Simon, and to Joel.
Thanks, boys.
I think it's via.
Via
Twitter, not via Twitter.
this is what I'm saying, right? It's the end of the
season. Oh, my goodness me.
Big fur boots.
Do you have a GCSE in Latin, David?
Didn't do that at your school, mate, did they?
Do you?
Ecce in pictoris puella nomine. Yeah, I do have a GCSE in Latin, big balls.
Well, so do I.
Yeah.
Well, I don't.
I'm from Larn. So, no.
Well, one in English. Can we wrap this up, boys? Thanks very much for joining us.
Cheers.
Guys, say the game's on Saturday, 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena. Away to Coventry on Sunday, 6 p.m. Get yourself down to the SSE Arena. It's the last chance you'll have at home to see your Elite League champion, Belfast Giants, take to that ice. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Network.